If you haven't called your dads, make sure you guys do that today, all right? And let them know. Happy Father's Day. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts. And building blocks, they left. All right. Acts chapter 4. And we're going to look at the entire chapter together. Hopefully you guys are off to a good summer. It's been a very busy week and a half for the Kim family, especially since my wife left. Well, I say left in my mind, but we sent her off on missions. And it's been good, but the kids have been keeping me pretty busy. And I just feel so tired right now. Yesterday, especially yesterday, was a really full day. And so, man, it's been a long time since around like 8:30, I just felt so sleepy. I put my head down, and next thing I know, it was like 3 in the morning. And so we praise God for fathers, all right? We started, by the way, our Bible reading program, or I guess our Bible reading, I don't necessarily want to call it a program, because program makes it sound like something that you have to do. Right, but Bible reading, I don't know, life-giving challenge. Does that sound better? I hope that sounds better. But we're reading through the book of Romans together, and if you, for whatever reason, did not pick up that schedule, or if you haven't started, I really want to encourage us to do it together, because, you know, one of the beautiful things about this family that we have, this family of faith, is that we're able to run this race together. And so even this week, it's been a wonderful time. So every morning, my kids and I, we decided we're going to read through the passages together. And so we've been reading it in the Message translation. And it's been such an awesome, even though it's only been a week, it's been such an awesome opportunity for me to not only read the Bible with my kids. And, you know, we try to do that once a week, but we're trying to do this every day now. And not only just reading the Bible with my kids, but actually being able to speak the gospel into their lives. It's been such a wonderful opportunity to talk about Jesus, and this week we even got to talk about the birds and the bees, because in the Message translations, Romans 1:27, the way that Eugene Peterson translates that verse, he says, "And they were sexually confused." And when I, as soon as I said that phrase, my kids looked at me, and they said, "What is that?" And so I had to speak to them about what that was. And so first I talked to them about sex being a noun, like I'm a male, mommy's a female. And then I had to also talk to them about sex being a verb. And so it was a very interesting week. But God redeems all things, right? God uses all things for our good. And so God is good. Even in the Kim household, at least they know about the beautiful gift of sex. And so we praise God for it, okay? And so I really want to encourage you to just really be rooted in the Word of God and let the gospel of Jesus be marinated in your heart so that you can really soak in the truth and the reality of who God is. And so I pray that not only was the first week a good week of getting into Romans chapter 1 and 2, I really pray that for the rest of the summer, it will be profitable to us. And so once again, I really want to encourage you, read it in the ESV, but then also read it alongside of, read it also in conjunction with the Message translation. I think it'll really help us to get a gist of what Paul is trying to say, because sometimes when Paul, man, his sentences tend to be very dense. Sometimes he runs on forever and ever. And in the midst of reading it, you're like, what in the world is he talking about? And so you read through the Message, and hopefully you won't be confused like my boys. All right? All right, so let's go ahead and read this together. Acts 4. We're going to look at verses 1 through 31. Acts 4, verses 1 through 31. By the way, I shared that story with my wife when she came home, and she was so horrified. because she was thinking, I'm going to have this plan. We're going to go out, maybe like steak dinner, and I'm going to talk to them about the birds and the bees and all this stuff. And I told them, you know what? There was a chance. Holy Spirit was moving. I took it. And she's like, what? What? She thinks I'm the worst father now. Because she was recommending like all these books she wanted me to read first, you know, like Dr. James Dobson about talking to the book. I was like, you know what? When the Spirit is leading, Spirit is leading. So you just got to go with it. All right. So, all right. Acts 4, verses 1 through 31. This is the word of God. It says, and as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And when they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening, but many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were on the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God called from the dead, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further amongst the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voice together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in the city they were gathered together against your holy servant, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak with your word, speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. All right, we'll stop there. So we said during the summer months that we want to really focus on becoming a church that is walking by the Spirit of God, or living by the Spirit of God, or another way to put it is really becoming a church that is learning to host the presence of God well. Because when we see, especially all throughout the book of Acts and so forth, that whenever the presence of God comes upon his people, the presence of God works in miraculous ways, not only to change our hearts, but really to use us to be that vessel for the transformation of others. And so last week we started talking about really the importance of atmosphere, right? And as we looked into the Word of God, we noticed that certain atmospheres really create faith, and certain atmospheres really invite God to come and to work. But in other atmospheres, we see that it really deters or even pushes God away so that he maybe, so that we don't necessarily see his work, the work that he wants to accomplish, right? And we talked about two specific examples of how either you create this atmosphere where you're inviting the Spirit of God to move, or sometimes you create this atmosphere where you're deterring the Spirit of God from moving in our midst. And so we started talking together about how really in the early church, one of the things that we see is that in this group of people, there was this atmosphere of desperation. There was this atmosphere of dependence, that they were so desperate for the Spirit of God to move, and they were so dependent on him, and that desperation and that dependence that was expressed through prayer. And that's why one of the characteristics that you see of this early church over and over again, you see them praying, gathering together to pray, gather together to pray, gather together to pray. That it wasn't this one-time event, but they were constantly gathering together. And as they were rooting themselves in the Word of God, that expression of the Word of God that was alive in their hearts, that it came out through really their prayer lives. And so not only this atmosphere of desperation and dependence, but in today's passage, we also see the early church coming together to express this boldness. We see this atmosphere of boldness. And it's really this atmosphere of boldness that we see inviting the presence of God to move and to work amongst them, right? So when you think about boldness, the tough thing about boldness is that it's not easy to be bold. It doesn't come, at least for some of us, it doesn't come naturally. I don't know if you went through a phase when you were a little child of being scared of the dark. I guess all of us go through a phase like that. My youngest, he's 4 right now, and he's going through that phase, and we're trying to work with him. And so the other day, my wife was not there, I made them breakfast, and afterwards I told Nathaniel to go upstairs to brush his teeth and to get ready for the day, and he looked at me, and he said, "I don't want to go." And I said, "What do you mean you don't want to go? Like, why don't you want to go? Like, is your room, your bathroom's right there?" And he said, "Well, I don't want to go upstairs by myself because the bathroom is dark and I'm scared of the dark," right? And I said, "Okay, well, this is the perfect opportunity," because the leaders and I, we've been reading through Gospel Fluency, this book, and it's been wonderful. And so I thought, all right, so all the stuff that I've been reading, I'm going to try to practice it right here, right now. And so I sat him. And so he's 4 years old, right? I sat him down and I started to speak the gospel into his life. And I said, "Well, you know, Nathaniel, I know that dark, yes, it's scary, but you don't have to be scared because Jesus loves you and he died for you," right? And the gospel reminds us that even though we walk through the valley of shadow of death, and in your case, even though you go into the dark bathroom, that Jesus is always there, that he's with you every single step of the way because Jesus loves you so much. And because Jesus rose from the dead, that there's nothing in this world that you have to be afraid of. And so I went on and on and on. And he was looking at me like, "Uh-huh." And then so after I was finished, I said, "So Nathaniel, what do you think?" And he looked at me and he said, "I still don't want to go because I'm still scared of the dark," right? And he had a better idea. And his suggestion was, "Well, why doesn't Jesus and Daddy come upstairs with me to the bathroom so that at least Daddy can turn the light on for me and I can brush my teeth?" It's really challenging to express our faith through boldness, especially when we are surrounded by an environment that is hostile to our faith. I remember becoming a Christian, and I learned very quickly that when you begin to share your faith, the people around you, they don't necessarily receive it well. And so it's challenging to be bold in not only living out our faith, but actually declaring and demonstrating our faith. But boldness is required in all of us as we live out this faith. And I believe that God wants to breathe this boldness in us. And God wants to breathe this courage so that we can continue to follow Christ. And so that as we follow Christ, that God will accomplish all that he has for us. So there's a couple things that I want to point out from today's passage, and we're going to go through this fairly quickly because, I mean, hopefully you notice one of the things that, and by the way, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. My point number three is that they actually pray for boldness. And when we read something like this, you know, it has to go beyond just us studying what this passage means. And so I want to go through this fairly quickly. So at the end, that we'll have a good chunk of time where we can be praying together for boldness, okay? All right, so a couple things to keep in mind and a couple things that we notice about boldness in today's passage. The first thing that we notice about boldness is this, that boldness is really the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Boldness is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so as you read through this, it gives us a context of the background story, right? So the context is that it starts all the way from chapter 3 when Peter and John, they're about to go into the temple and they see this man who's been lame. In other words, he was not able to walk ever since he was young, begging for money. And so he looks at them and Acts 3:6, this is what Peter says. He says, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And so through Peter's prayer, so to speak, he heals this man. And people around him, when they see this healing, they're just amazed. And so they rush to this place of where healing took place, and they're wondering what's going on. And Peter and John, they take that opportunity to share the gospel. To share about this resurrected Jesus who is able to not only physically heal, but ultimately heal our hearts, heal our broken lives. And then we come to chapter 4, because this is when the Jewish religious leaders enter into this picture, and they don't like it. It tells us in chapter 4 that Peter and John are proclaiming the name of Jesus. So they're arrested. The next day, they're brought in before this very important group of religious leaders. And the religious leaders, now they begin to question John. In verse 7, it says, "By what power or by what name do you do this?" And then in verse 8, Luke tells us, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them," and Peter begins to talk to them about this Jesus who rose from the dead. And then when we jump to verse 13, what it tells us is that now, as they listen to Peter's explanation, and as they see the boldness in Peter, that they're amazed because they perceive that they were uneducated, common men, and they're astonished, and they recognize that they have been with Jesus, okay? And so, for me, what this tells us is really the boldness that is required to express our faith. It's not dependent on circumstances, right? It's not dependent on our, personality. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That when the Holy Spirit of God is at work in our lives, then he breeds that boldness. And so when you think about it, it really is the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God working in our lives. And I think Dr. Luke, as he's writing this letter, he wants to make this point very clear. That boldness that Peter and John demonstrated to the council. And so when you think about this council, these are people who are very influential, people that are very powerful. And so Luke makes it very clear that the boldness that Peter demonstrated, that first of all, it wasn't based on their education, right? It wasn't based on what they knew. It wasn't based on what they were trained for. How many of us ever run into a situation where we want to talk to others about Jesus, but we feel like, you know what? But I don't know anything. I haven't taken an apologetics class, or I haven't read this book or that book, so I wouldn't even know what to say. And Peter and John, they were in exact same situation. They were uneducated. And so their boldness to speak about Jesus, it wasn't based on their education. It wasn't based on what they knew. And not only that, but it wasn't also based on their status, right? Compared to these religious leaders, they were not on equal footing. They were recognized as being inferior. And I think Luke wants to drive this point home, that their boldness, that it wasn't based on themselves. That it wasn't somehow in that moment they decided, you know what, we see this guy who is crippled, and now, okay, Peter and John, they're talking to one another saying, okay, Jesus commissioned us for this ministry, and this is our chance, and we got to take it. And so they prayed for the man, thinking, okay, we have to be bold, we have to be bold, we have to be bold. But as these religious leaders are observing Peter and John, as they're listening to Peter and John, what stands out to them is simply that they have been with Jesus. In other words, they're speaking with boldness about who Jesus is. And so they're filled with the Spirit. In other words, they're completely soaked. It's this word that's describing that they're saturated with the Holy Spirit of God. Which means, number one, that as a Christ follower, boldness is expected because the boldness that we demonstrate is really from the Holy Spirit of God. So if the Holy Spirit of God is at work in your lives, and regardless of your personality, right? Some of us, maybe we're shy, a little bit more, I don't know, not as expressive or maybe outgoing. We don't like to meet new people and so forth. Others of us, we're like out there. We love meeting. I mean, it's not based on our personality. It's not based on our circumstance. And so boldness is expected not because of who you are, but boldness is expected because the Holy Spirit of God is at work in you. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit of God does in our lives is produce boldness. So as a Christ follower, boldness is expected because boldness is from the Holy Spirit of God. But not only that, it also means, number two, that your boldness, it doesn't depend on your personality. It doesn't depend on your circumstance. It doesn't depend on your preference. Which means, number three, your boldness is really anchored in what you believe in about who God is. Your boldness is really anchored in what you believe in about who God is. I don't know if you remember the story of Joshua, right? So Joshua was the understudy of Moses. Moses was the leader of the Israelites as he was leading them into the promised land. And as Moses was about to pass away and the leadership mantle is being transitioned now to Joshua, do you remember the promise that God makes to Joshua? This is one of my favorite quotes in Joshua chapter 1. God calls Joshua and says, be strong and be courageous. So this assignment that God gives to Joshua, to be strong and to be courageous. And what God promised in Joshua's life isn't that God was going to somehow zap him, that God was going to somehow change his personality, so that all of a sudden Joshua was going to learn to be strong and to be courageous, right? But really, the emphasis of the story there in Joshua chapter 1 is what God promised was God's presence. So God says to Joshua, be strong and be courageous, not because I'm going to change your personality, not because I'm going to change your outlook, but because my presence will go before you, that my presence will go with you. In other words, what God was encouraging Joshua was to do was to root his life into this promise that God was speaking to him. And so in that moment, Joshua had to decide. Was he going to look to the promises of God, or was he going to look to his circumstance? And we see Joshua choosing over and over and over again to look to the promise of God and to believe in those promises for his life. And when Joshua chose God, it was God who breathed strength and boldness into him to lead the people into the promised land. And so we see boldness not as some sort of character trait. We see boldness not as a sign of our Christian maturity, but we see boldness as the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And not only that, the second observation that we see is that boldness is demonstrated through our obedience to the gospel agenda. Boldness is demonstrated through our obedience to the gospel agenda. In other words, the Holy Spirit breeds boldness in the context of our labor in the gospel. It's not boldness for the sake of boldness, but it's boldness in the context of laboring for the gospel. And I think it's really interesting that they're not bold for the sake of being bold, but they're bold as they are proclaiming who Jesus is to the people around them. So you see boldness in the early church. But you see boldness always in the context of living out this great commission to be his witnesses. And so Peter and John, they demonstrate boldness as they taught and declared about the reality of the resurrected Jesus. In Acts 6, once again, we see boldness in Stephen as he talks to his fellow Jews about who Jesus is. And so we see this example of the church living out their faith and boldness, and it's always in the context of obedience to this gospel agenda. Listen to what one Christian writer writes about this text. He says, and I quote, "It's more than a general confidence." So he's talking about the boldness of John and Peter. "It doesn't mean zeal enough to holler. Peter and John's boldness was in what they said about Jesus. Or more specifically, their boldness was in how they were so outspoken about the identity of Jesus in their use of the Old Testament." This is what is happening in Acts 4:11. Peter quotes Psalm 118:22 to tell the Jewish leaders about the world-transforming significance of Jesus. He says that Jesus is a stone rejected by the leaders who has now become the cornerstone. "Indeed, a new day has dawned, a day that the Lord has made," Psalm 18:24, "all because of this Jesus who was crucified, dead, buried, who is now raised and ascended," and this blew the minds of the Jewish leaders. How in the world do these untrained fishermen know how to read the scripture like this? How can they be so frank and open about who this Jesus is? So the Jewish leaders were astonished, that is, until they recognized that Peter and John had been with Jesus, unquote. And so it's not boldness because they spoke out, but it's boldness because they spoke out about who Jesus was. And really, when you think about it, this is the vision of Christian boldness, right? That we are all on this mission to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And unless both of our feet are firmly planted, so to speak, on this gospel agenda that God has spoken into our lives, really, there's really no need for the supernatural boldness to be released in our lives. And so you think about, okay, what came first? Well, it might be a hard question because it's like chicken or the egg. What comes first? Is it the chicken or the egg? Well, what comes first? Is it our obedience or is it boldness? Because for some people, we're just waiting. Okay, God, make me bold, and then I'll obey. You want me to share the gospel with my roommate? Okay, well, you got to give me boldness first. But other people believe that, okay, it's as we step out in obedience, then God breeds that boldness. Well, I think it doesn't really matter what comes first. Because what matters is obedience and boldness, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so as the Holy Spirit of God is at work in our lives, sometimes he will give you the boldness to live your life in obedience. Me personally, I don't particularly find it very enjoyable speaking to complete strangers that I've never met. I mean, I don't have a problem with speaking to strangers, But it's just not my preference to go up to a random person and go, hey there, let me introduce myself, right? I always tell my wife I would make a terrible salesperson. That's just not my personality. Not very outgoing in that sense. And so I remember our second year in our Ann Arbor church, long time ago. We were doing our campus missions week. And so I was a grad student and I got signed. I got paired up with, I think it was a sophomore to be, two sophomore to be's. And so they're looking to me like, okay, Ben's going to lead us and he's going to be bold and demonstrate. Meanwhile, in my heart, I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to do this. Right? I don't want to do this. But I felt like, okay, I want to set this example for these brothers and sisters in Christ that it's not that bad engaging in conversation about Jesus with others. And I remember praying in my heart, God, breathe boldness in me. And guess what? The Holy Spirit, he breathed boldness in my heart so that in that moment, something changed. And so for some of you who visit the Michigan campus, you know where the student union is. And I remember walking into the student union. And I just remember the Holy Spirit of God saying, this person, okay. And so we said, all right, we're going to go to this person, and then we're going to go to this. And so we just had these wonderful conversations of introducing ourselves and telling them about who Jesus is. And so there are instances where the Spirit of God will breathe that boldness in you so that in that boldness that you can obey. But there's other instances where the Spirit of God is waiting for you to obey, and as you step out in obedience that he breeds boldness. Right? Because up to that point, you're thinking, gosh, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I feel like the Spirit is wanting me to do this. But I have so much fear and I'm so hesitant to do it. But it's as you step out in obedience, the Spirit of God breeds that boldness to almost confirm that, yes, he is delighted in your obedience. All I know is that when the Spirit of God is at work in our lives, he is going to produce boldness and he's going to produce obedience. And we see that so clearly in the lives of these disciples. And I know that we talk about obedience a lot. And, you know, oftentimes it just becomes one of these topics where, okay, we talk about it so much where it just becomes really overrated because we're constantly talking about it. But to me, it's so important. Because it's not just about going out there and doing it, but it's really about the Spirit of God that is alive in us at work. And so the question that we have to, at least for me, that I have to wrestle with, am I aligning my life in such a way that I am engaged fully in this gospel agenda? And as I am fully engaged in this gospel agenda, because my heart's desire, more than anything else, is to follow Christ and is to accomplish this calling to be his witnesses, that am I willing to step out in faith so that as I step out in faith, that I ask the Holy Spirit of God to fill me with boldness. Right? Boldness, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're never going to be fearful. But it means that despite your fears, that when you look to God, you see God as someone who is greater than your fears. That when you look to the promises of God, you see the promises of God as greater than even your circumstances. And so we see boldness being demonstrated through their obedience in the gospel agenda. But not only that, but I'm going to close with this, and then we're going to go into a time of prayer. Boldness ultimately is fueled by our prayers. Tells us that when Peter and John were released from custody, I love how they describe it, because even though they weren't beat up, at least not yet, later on they're going to be physically beat up and so forth, even though they're not beat up, I mean, it's a stressful situation, right? And so as soon as they're released from custody, it doesn't say, oh man, woo, I'm glad that that's over. Well, let's go grab a bite to eat, or you know what, let's just go chill. and maybe we'll just watch some YouTube videos and we'll just relax for a moment. But it says as soon as they were relaxed, they went back to the biblical community. And as soon as they went back to the biblical community, I love this, they started praying together. And so once again, you see prayer as the backbone to this community. And it was their prayer that actually begins to fuel more and more boldness. And the thing that they pray for as they gather together is what? They pray for boldness. So they testify to the rest of the Christians about, hey, listen, this is what happened to us. God worked through us in miraculous ways. We were able to heal this person who was lame. We got threatened. And now we praise God that we were able to demonstrate boldness, but we believe that God wants us to be even bolder, to send us out beyond our comfort. And so they begin to pray for boldness. And the thing that they ask for is what? Boldness so that they can continue to testify to others about who Christ is. They knew beyond a shadow of doubt that this is the reason why their community existed. That it wasn't just about fellowship. It wasn't just about, man, we have some awesome lunches together. It wasn't just about raising our kids together. It wasn't just about vacationing together. It wasn't just about having a group of people that they could turn to during hardships and difficulties. But it was on mission together to testify to the reality of Christ is. And so this is what they pray in 29. Let's look at this. And it says, and now look, Lord, upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. And so they're saying that, yes, threats, it's a reality. Circumstances, yes, it's a reality that they cannot ignore. But what's even greater than the threats and the circumstances is you. And so if you are greater than these circumstances, then continue to speak your boldness in us so that in that boldness that we can go forth to share your word. And we can't miss it here. It's as they share your word, this is what they pray. They pray while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And in 31 it says, and as they were praying, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Really, the key there is that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so you see this phrase over and over again, that they're being filled with the Holy Spirit, that they're being filled with the Holy Spirit. John Bloom, he's a Christian author. This is what he writes. And I quote, he says, boldness is not constant or taken for granted. We must keep praying for it whenever we need it. Even the Apostle Paul experienced this. That's why he asked the Ephesians to pray that he may declare the gospel boldly as he ought to speak, Ephesians 6:20. Boldness is not an option for us, but it's also not a given. Since it is not a constant gift of the Spirit, we must pray for it frequently. We must pray for it frequently. And that's why I believe that the early church, they were so devoted to prayer. Because they realized that they have to pray for it frequently, that they have to be filled with the Spirit of God over and over and over again. So we need to be praying. And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so in that sense, this passage, it's not that complicated. Because when you think about it, how are these Christians so bold in proclaiming the gospel fearlessly and standing before the leaders of their community. How are these Christians so bold in seeing a man in need and stepping up and praying? And believing by faith that through their prayers that God was going to heal. Well, the answer is simple. And that answer is it's because they're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves is simply this question of, well, are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Well, how do you know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Well, is the Holy Spirit of God at work in you to produce boldness in the works of the gospel? Is the Holy Spirit of God at work in you to produce in you obedience to the gospel? And is the Holy Spirit of God in you to produce this joy that regardless of the circumstances that you go through, because you're living your life in this faithful obedience, that you're able to say, God, we praise you. And so this picture that we see of this new community of faith, right? It's not people that are bored with their faith. It's not people that are afraid of their faith, but as they are boldly stepping out to declare the gospel, it's people that are filled with joy. It's the work of God in them to produce something that when you look at the description of this community, it's so attractive, isn't it? Because you clearly see the evidence of God at work. You see the Spirit of God alive in their lives. And so we need to be praying. And we need to be asking the Holy Spirit of God to fill us. And so the one thing simply is this, that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, who breeds boldness in us to proclaim the gospel. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, who breeds boldness in us to proclaim the gospel. So how do we make it personally? How do we make this personal? Number one, we pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us with boldness, okay? So that's what we want to do today. We're going to pray to the Holy Spirit of God to fill us with boldness. And then number two, think about living daily by embracing the gospel agenda. So every single day, what is God calling you to embrace about declaring the gospel to the people around you? Are you embracing the gospel agenda where you need the boldness of the Holy Spirit of God? Pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you with boldness and live daily by embracing the gospel agenda. Okay. All right. Well, let's stand together. And so we see the early church praying, and that's what we want to do today, okay? And so we do want to take some time to make sure it's not just a story about the church from the past, or we want to make sure that it's not just how the Spirit of God used to work, but this is how He wants to work in our lives today. That as we come before Him, that He wants to breathe this boldness in us. And as this small group of people, as they were gathered together, at least relative to the surrounding society, you know, I'll bet you anything, the things that they were praying for wasn't, God, help us just to survive. But the things I believe that they were praying for was, God, help us to thrive so that we can proclaim the gospel, that we can make a difference, that we can be impactful in the lives of the people around us.
And that's what we need to be praying for. We need to pray for the Spirit of God to come and fill us. And so I want to give us opportunities to do that. So the first thing that we want to pray for together is, God, help us to be bold, okay? Help us to be bold in proclaiming the gospel for our own lives. I think that's where it needs to start. Because before the gospel is for others, it's for you. And so you think about your life, and you think about the different areas of your lives where God needs to still declare his gospel truth, that you are forgiven through grace, that you are saved through faith, and that as you declare Christ as Lord and Savior, that he calls you to be now a new creation, and that in that new creation that he has given you a new heart, a heart of flesh, where your heart naturally gravitates to the things of God, so that you are no longer living by the fleshly desires that you once used to live, but now you are living by the Spirit of God that is at work in your lives. And it's the Spirit of God that is birthing in you new passions, new desires. And so let's pray for that. God, help me to be bold in declaring this gospel reality and this gospel truth into my own life. Whether it's areas of sin, whether it's areas of disobedience, whether it's areas where I don't really trust you, whether it's areas of I don't really believe, unbelief. Let's pray that God will give us the boldness to speak the gospel into our own lives. And so let's start there. And so I want to give us an opportunity to pray through that. And so I'm going to give us some time to do that. And after a while, I'll bring us back. And then we'll also pray this gospel boldness into the lives of others. But let's start from this place and ask the Holy Spirit of God to speak the gospel boldly into our own lives first. And so let's pray for that together, okay? Let's pray for that together, church.